When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
On today's show, we'll recommend an EV for a family looking to replace their Honda Ridgeline, but absolutely do not want a Tesla, a viewer embarrassed to be seen in their Tesla Model S Plaid, and another viewer who wants to replace their Audi Q5 with an electric sedan. This could be a spicy one. Welcome to Battery Bargains, a weekly series from the Batteries Included podcast, where we make EV recommendations to order. This is episode number 48. I'm Dominic Ioni, and I am joined today by Mr. Martin Lee from the EV News Daily podcast. If you're looking for your own bespoke battery bargain recommendation, send us a one-minute video or a short email describing your use case and budget, and we'll see about featuring your case on an upcoming episode. So before we get into today's cases, we had that video from last week, actually. We didn't really get a chance to speak before the show, Martin. Do you have that there?
I do. Let's see if it works
this time. Let me just set it up for you.
Okay. Okay, go.
So last week we heard from a viewer named Dennis, whose case we had tackled in one of our very first battery bargain episodes, the very first episode actually, and they sent a video. They finally bought a car, and they have put together this great little video just to tell us about it, and so we wanted to share that with you all, and roll tape.
Okay, now this is, I'm doing it because when I used to play videos in separately, I used to do this on a PC, and I've since moved to a Mac, and I'm very happy with the Mac, by the way. It works quite well, when it's not crashing, hopefully I just drag this in. Oh no, see, now it's not working the way I thought it would do on the StreamYard platform. Maybe this is how you did it last week, and it doesn't work so well, because I'm now not getting the audio coming out, and I'm dragging it in the way that I thought I did it. It's worked 1,000 times before and it's not dumb. Ah, this is so frustrating. By the look of it, it's not playing, like last time, it's not playing the audio, which is just so frustrating. But if we can't make it work, then we will definitely bring it to you next week. But yeah, at the moment, it's not working fabulously well. Now, I'll try, but again, see if the comment section would say that you've got the audio. Can you hear the audio, Dom?
I cannot.
Oh, no, don't do it.
Oh, Dennis, we're so sorry, Dennis.
We're so sorry.
We'll figure this out.
That's super frustrating. It's a great little video to see, and we finally, you know, get to look, which is nice, because we don't get too many of those things of feedback on this show. We get the odd email and what have you, but we don't get too many people send a video to go, like, hey, look what I bought. I'll just try it one more time. So if I present and click on share screen and window and that. And it says the audio would still be silent. Dennis, I'm so sorry about that. I mean,
okay,
love my Mac, but it's not working the way that it should be.
I guess let's just kick this show off, I guess, with our first case then.
Let's do it.
And to be transparent, of course, we've paraphrased these emails a bit for length and clarity. So are you ready to go car shopping there, Martin?
Let's do it.
All right. Hello, Dom and team. We live in Southeast Pennsylvania and are looking for a Honda Ridgeline replacement in about 2 years. We'd like to keep our cars for 10 years. One other vehicle, our other vehicle is my wife's Hyundai Ioniq 5. We have two kids, no car seats, and this will most likely be our road tripper. We usually do 1 to 2 trips to Vermont in the winter and 1 trip to North Carolina in the summer. Our budget would be plus or minus $50,000 after potential tax credits, but definitely not more than $60,000. We absolutely do not want a Tesla. A few months ago, we probably would have gotten a Model 3 or Y, but now we have taken that completely off the table. The replacement does not have to be a pickup truck.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
But we like the utility of that vehicle. Definitely don't want a full-size truck. I have been very happy with Tacoma/Ridgeline-sized vehicles. I have a first-hour reservation on an Rivian R2, but I'm not sure if that would be the best fit. I do feel like going from an 800-volt Ioniq 5 to a 400-volt Rivian R2 that is 4 years newer is going to feel like going backwards, especially since this will be our road trip vehicle. We definitely want the vehicle to have a NACS port and access. It's a North American Charging Standard port and access. That's what we find on the Tesla vehicles. And not limited to 100 kilowatts like the Ioniq 5. We also prefer to buy new and keep the car for 10 years, wow, though would consider a very lightly used vehicle. P.S. I have been a staunch Honda, Toyota, Subaru buyer since I was 16, and it's disappointing to know that none of these will be my next vehicle. Ciao. Mm. Tim. Mm. All right. So, a lot to unpack there, really.
yeah, absolutely. We don't get the Honda Ridgeline here, so I had to go and have a look at what that is. And I
It's like a unibody pickup truck. It's not like a full size pickup truck, but it's not like a tiny one either. It's like a midsize, I guess. And the thing that people would point out about it usually is that it's a unibody frame rather than a cab and a bed kind of stuck on a frame together.
Yeah.
Open to other vehicles as well.
So I think I understand that now, and thank you very much to David. No, Mark says I'm too quiet. I don't know what to do, Mark. So we use a platform called StreamYard. And so what we do with StreamYard, and we pay a huge amount of money, by the way, monthly for this, is we say we want to go live on Facebook, on YouTube. We used to go live on X, but they kicked us off, so we don't have a premium account on X anymore. And unless you pay Elon Musk money to have a premium account, they won't let you put your videos on it. So it kicked us off now. Sorry about that. And so we do it once live onto this platform, and the platform is meant to level out all the audio and send it to all those destinations. And every week people say so-and-so's not, I don't know, this platform is meant to level out audio. We've got the button ticked that says automatically do it.
I just went into the settings here, Martin. It had come unticked somehow.
Okay.
Well, in yours.
Hopefully, it's meant to be all the same. It should just be leveled in your ears. I'm so sorry about that. It happens on the Friday show we do as well. So and so is too loud. I don't know what to do. Everything should be auto leveled. All right.
Yeah.
So that's what Honda Ridgeline is. And they want a road tripper, not a huge amount of road trips. I mean, to be honest with you, the amount of road trips you do, you could just go hire a truck,
right.
Let's say that's not happening. Budget of 50 to 60,000. You do not want a Tesla. A few months ago you would have gotten a 3 or a Y, but that's off the table now. Yeah, I don't really do social media anymore. I think that kind of phase, that phase is over now. You know, from Facebook to Twitter and Instagram and all that. But I do read Reddit occasionally, and there is a, let's say, a recurring theme on Reddit in the last week, which says, from people saying, you know, I drive around in my Tesla and it feels like I'm wearing a MAGA hat. Like my Tesla is basically, I'm just embarrassed to drive it. And that's clearly a small proportion of people. But it's a theme that I see coming up and again. And I understand that. And you know, people feel strongly. I get it. And so, yeah, so I'm imagining there's reasons why you don't want a Tesla anymore. I think that's, you know, you're in good company there. And, you know, and of course, lots of people do want one. First hour reservation on R2, but not sure if it's the best fit. I wouldn't worry too much about 400 volt, 800 volt. But one thing to say is that the new Ioniq 5 coming out of the Meta plant in Georgia is that they have re-engineered the battery to get to pull some more amps from the Tesla superchargers. So yeah, the superchargers run at a very low voltage. But you will charge a good 170, 180, is it now?
Is it that high?
It's really 130, high. I think it's really high. It's okay. Not what you'll get if you... And also, those cars are native J3400. And so, yeah, if you want the full fat, you know, 250 plus kilowatts, you're going to need to use a CCS adapter to go the other way. And you will get the full speed with that. It's perfectly safe to use that adapter. But if you want native J3400, then you're going to look at the Ioniq 5, or you can look at the Hyundai Ioniq 9, formerly SEVEN in concept form, but renamed. That would make it seem like a lesser vehicle than the Kia EV9. It's the same vehicle. And that comes out. We should see that very soon at the auto show. And so that is going to be a 2025 production on the Hyundai. So if you want native J3400, those are your two choices if you don't have a Tesla at the moment. Which would be a fantastic choice. Now, if the pricing is similar to the Kia EV9, the light trim, or is it the wind trim? The light trim, I think, starts at 50-something, like 56,000, 55, 56,000 to get into that vehicle, which is within your budget. And I would presume the Hyundai Ioniq 9 pricing is going to reflect Kia EV9. What do you think, Dom?
So I was just reading the comments. I missed your last little sentence.
No worries. No, I was going to shut up. I've talked for too long. But I think a Hyundai Ioniq 9 would be worth you looking at if you want native J3400. But and also that battery, like the Ioniq 5, is going to, I would think the battery will be reworked. Now, it only gets a 3750 federal tax credit for now because the vehicle is built in the US, but the battery doesn't hit all the things it needs to. But in time, that will be 7500 and the 7500 lease loophole. For as long as that is around, which I would think would be maybe another 2 months. I think it's one of the first things that will go. So maybe that we shouldn't be thinking about that long term. And that would be a good vehicle for you to, even though it's not a pickup truck, a good vehicle for you to at least look at in terms of, I'm trying to put myself in your shoes. I don't keep vehicles for 10 years. But I think a big potentially three row, and you haven't got to use the third row. I'm not saying you're going to have more kids, but I think, as your family grows and you go on, you know, weekends away and you pack it full of stuff, a larger vehicle, if it's not a pickup, and the R2 is not a pickup that you might have ordered, then that the Ioniq 9 would be a very good one to look at.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
All right. So I looked at this a little bit differently. So they're replacing a truck. So to me, I thought it made sense to suggest another truck, even though they're open to another open to SUVs. So since they like the R1S, but it's out of their budget, I thought I'd take a look at the Rivian R1T situation. That's the pickup truck version. Very similar to the R1S, obviously, but it has a bed instead of a third row. So I found one near the top of their budget with only 5,780 miles on it, but it's out in Utah, actually. So it's kind of, I think, and it plus they're only looking to buy like maybe 2 years from now, so they're not looking to buy right away. So this, I mean, that truck will be long gone by then. But I think similar low mileage deals will exist. So that's one I think that maybe just like keep in your back pocket. You know, don't rule it out, but you know, just think it's a possibility. So personally, I like the idea of the Rivian R2 for these folks. I know they're worried about charging speed because it's not 800 volts, but if it were, it would charge worse on the Tesla superchargers, which, you know, they're probably as likely to use as another network, really. So, it's not the best charging. I don't think it's going to be class-leading charging speeds here, but on the trips, there's like one trip has the one to Vermont. I think it's just like one charging stop, really, and the one to North Carolina probably have two charging stops. I think those are like 500 and 600 miles, or 400 and 600 miles. I think 2 half-hour stops is not a big deal, really. I think, but so there's that. I'd really kind of lean R2, but I do have one other suggestion. If hopefully I can get it up here in time, so I can show you what I'm talking about. Okay, so since they are very comfortable with the Toyota, Honda, and Subaru brands, I just mentioned that Honda will be offering the production version of the Space Hub concept in 2026. So that's within the time frame that they're looking to buy. So it looks like this, which is pretty funky, you know, to our eyes. But no doubt, Honda will normalize it somewhat for production. Also, Honda is aiming for a really good DC charging speed with this thing. I believe they say 15 to 80% in 10 or 15 minutes. So it should be a really good road tripper. It won't be like this on the interior. This is like, you know, very concept vehicle kind of stuff going on here. But I imagine it's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be a three row or two row or what, but it's just something to keep an eye on, because if you like the, you know, Japanese manufacturers, Honda's really knocking it out of the park right now with that Prologue, which is it's built on the Ultium platform from GM, but it's got the Honda design elements in there, and people are very comfortable with that brand and enjoy that styling. So I think it's worth keeping your eye on that particular vehicle. That's pretty much all I have to say about that.
Excellent. Good. Let's move on.
All right. Our second email comes to us from Greg, and he says, "Hey, guys, I've been a listener for years, and I currently own a Tesla Model S Plaid, a Model Y Performance, and a Rivian R1S. In addition to a Ford Lightning I just bought for my office." Now, this guy has all the EVs. So due to recent events, I'm looking to get out of the Model S. I've never been embarrassed to be seen driving a car brand before. ... I drive about 25,000 miles per year with regular road trips of 250 to 500 miles. I live in Southwest Michigan and generally drive throughout the Great Lakes states from upstate New York to Madison, Wisconsin to the west, and as far south as Nashville. I'm very experienced and comfortable road tripping in the Tesla network, but haven't done as much with our Rivian. I'm looking for a comfortable highway cruiser that I don't have to worry about charging networks. I'm leaning towards a used Lucid Air Pure or Touring models, and I'd like to stay under $60,000. I don't need the speed of the Plaid, and I prefer Tesla Autopilot to FSD, which I find often is too fussy. I also love the look of the Polestar 3, and I would prefer a hatchback to the Lucid trunk. Other cars running through my mind include the Cadillac Lyriq, Rivian R1T, or Audi e-tron. I need great highway driver assistance, but I'm open to just about anything. What would you suggest as the best non-Tesla road trip machine? Is the non-Tesla network reliable enough yet? I know I'll be able to use the Tesla network next year sometime, so maybe that isn't much of an issue. Thanks, Greg. So I think the Lucid Air Pure here is a pretty good call. Great driving car by all accounts. They start new at $69,900, so $70,000 basically, above the budget. But I found a 2024 with low miles for $12,000 that fits the budget, actually. And I can pop that up on the screen real quick here, if you don't mind, Martin. Me popping that up over your thing. So yeah, Lucid Air Pure, $57,750, so basically $58,000. It's basically brand new. So you're saving $12,000 off the top, you know, off the price tag for a 2024, only 2,196 miles on it. Like, this is a deal. And maybe this one is not for whatever reason, maybe it's cross country. I'm not exactly sure where this particular one is, but I'm sure deals like this are probably popping up from, you know, all the time. I mean, I just did some searching and found this one pretty easily. There are worse deals out there. So just need to do some shopping. So he also mentioned the Cadillac Lyriq, and that's a nice riding car as well. And it can get Super Cruise, which is really great driver's assistance systems for highways. And it has access now to the Tesla Supercharger network, which makes finding a charge station a little easier on those trips over to Wisconsin. And you can see, so the budget is up to $60,000. So I think they can get a new one up there. But I just like I just feel like you should take the... go for a use of low miles and just save all that depreciation. So instead of paying whatever over $50,000, whatever it would be for a brand new Cadillac, you can get a 2024. Like we have, do I have it up on the screen? Yeah, this 2024, 4,008 miles. It's basically a brand new car, $42,000, and. Yeah, and the Cadillac Lyriq comes in, I think, tech, luxury, and sport trims. So you can see what kind of character you want your Lyriq to have, and kind of choose from those different trim levels. And it's kind of flexible in that way.
Mm. The new one's called the Vistiq, isn't it? The new one that was out yesterday.
Oh, the new, yeah. Cadillac just announced a new 3-row. It's like I think it's slightly smaller than the IQ, but it has three rows like the IQ, and it's, I'm not exactly sure, but I think it's like $40,000 cheaper. It starts around $80,000, just where the Lucid Gravity starts as well, and where the Kia EV9 kind of leaves off. So the top trim of the EV9 with a bunch of options on it would be, you know, right around $80,000 as well. So I couldn't let her go without mentioning one of the nicest highway cruisers that I've driven, and that's the Mercedes EQS SUV, which, you know, you'd think that might be too kind of expensive, too up there to suggest for a $60,000 budget, since they start at over $100,000. But these have depreciated for no good reason that I can tell. And here's a great example of that right here. A 2023 Mercedes-Benz EQS 450 4MATIC, so all-wheel drive for those northern state winters. Good driver, really good driver's assistant, an awesome heads-up display, nice, smooth, and quiet ride, and it's almost half the price of it, half of its new price, you know. So yeah, it's just an amazing deal.
Yeah, let's bring it up on screen. Have a look at for our audio listeners. Again, you know, these vehicles are depreciating so heavily that, you know, for not many miles on a vehicle, you can save so much money on a used one. And I know that, you know, if it's new, you can't get the sort of the leasing loophole and stuff on new vehicles. And for those that do get the federal tax credit when they're new vehicles, but still really nice.
Right, I think. Well, looking at this amount of depreciation, it's like a kind of a no-brainer just to go used here. Really, I feel like, Unless you're really flush with cash, and you know, it's like money is like the least of your worries. You want the best, you want it now. You know, go brand new if you like. But this is sitting there. It's just like saying, "Buy me," you know. Yeah. But yeah, either of these, like the Lucid, the Pure, these are all very good reasons to go down to dealerships and do some test driving just to see what's, you know, what feels comfortable for you, because you know what's comfortable for me or for Martin might not be, you know, there might be some weird issue that you're not comfortable with. So yeah, I always recommend the test drive.
That's where I went with this with Dom. Please go use. So if you're getting rid of a Tesla Model S Plaid, and again, for whatever reasons, personal reasons that you have, and I think that's it's a valid reason. Not everyone's going to understand that reason. Mm-hmm. We all make choices of where we spend our personal money because it is sometimes a reflection of, you know, of our values and things like that. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing to be ashamed of by saying, you know, this is an external, the cars that we buy, we often buy with our heart, not our head. It's not just transport to get from A to B, obviously. And so I think with a car, it's absolutely fine. I know people, you know, lots of people in the comments saying, you know, who cares what the CEO of your toothbrush brand voted for? And I understand that, but cars are a little bit different. They're emotional, and they're part of your life. They're an extension of that. And, you know, for good and bad, because people end up buying cars, which they shouldn't do, on finance because they can't afford it because they want to look good for, you know, in front of strangers, which is ridiculous, you know, if you are skint. But still, that's a fact of life. The cars are emotional, so don't feel that, you know, you need to apologize for getting rid of a car if all of a sudden it's very closely associated with something that you might not. And so I wouldn't worry too much about that. Lucid Air, bang on, absolutely brilliant. Now, there are good and bad news here, Greg. The bad news we'll start with, as you may know already if you've looked at prices, you are going to take an absolute bath on your Model S Plaid if you bought it. And it wasn't leased or something. So when you come to sell that, it's going to sting. But the cars I'm about to suggest are stinging for somebody else. So the Lucid Air, as Dom says, brilliant. Mercedes-Benz EQS. Oh, and by the way, because you didn't say you wanted an SUV or a crossover shape on your email, so you're looking at, you know, you're coming out of a saloon, a sedan. I went with vehicles like that because a lot of people sometimes say, I really want an SUV crossover. And so you have to kind of go with the three row or the size or whatever, the elevated seating position. But you didn't. So I'm leaning into it.
I went with the SUV just because most of us think it looks better. I mean,
Greg said the sedan's great. You know, R1T, Audi e-tron, Lyric in his email. So he's open to those vehicles, but I didn't. So I was like, Lucid Air, bang on. EQS, please look at the EQS if you are spending 60 grand. Look at the BMW i7.
Doesn't come down quite enough for that. No,
I mean, their flagship is incredible. Keep your eye on that. Keep your eye on the Audi e-tron GT so and the Porsche Taycan. So again, you know, starting MSRPs of between $80,000 and $100,000, depending on what spec it is. But there's a new versions of that out, the new Audi, the new Porsche Taycan, and the e-tron GT. Move that vehicle forward significantly. Over the last couple of days, they just rounded that out with the GTS spec and some others as well. So now all the different flavors of the newly refreshed one are out there, which means that the previous original Taycan gets even cheaper for you, and you're going to have some decent choice in the used market. If you want a highway cruiser, you've got everything in your garage by the sounds of you. Fortunate person, clearly very successful, and you can, you know, have lots of these vehicles. And so if you do want genuinely a cruiser, Taycan almost is a no-brainer, or an Audi e-tron GT, because of the speed at which even the original versions, they charge so quickly, and then you're on your way again. Have a look at the Genesis electrified G80. It's a wafter. It's not for everybody, but I think any of those German ones, like the Porsche, the Audi, you know, BMW i7 may not be used just yet, Mercedes-Benz EQS, Lucid Air, all of them, and I don't mean to be sniffy, but all of them are going to be a more luxurious experience than what you're coming out of, which is brute force. You know, the Model S Plaid is just a ridiculous punch in the face, but for the money that you are spending, everyone's different. You might want to go for the, you know, the mechanical superiority or the efficiency of the Tesla, and the charging network and the software they've got, which is where they lead. But I've never sat inside a Tesla and thought, well, this feels special. It's when you drive a Tesla, or when you want to go charge it, or when you use the software or the app, then it's special. But the actual experience of sitting in a Tesla, it's very functional. you sit inside the EQS, the i7, the e-tron, the Porsche Taycan, and it's an experience. And that might be what you're looking for. You might place no value in that, in which case, don't worry about it. But I would have those vehicles in a heartbeat. Have a look at those, used, because they are all tanking in the used market. And you'll get some of those for 50% off what they paid. 55%, you know, after a... Some Lucids are suffering really badly after 12 months, which is good for you. Bad for the original purchasers.
Price-wise.
Yeah. Incredible vehicles, and price-wise, they're losing like 45, 50% in, you know, a year or 18 months, which is...
Ouch. I really can't wait to I can suggest the BMW i7. I just love this car, so I just want to throw this up for a second.
Did you spend some time in that recently?
Yeah, I drove it halfway across the country, basically, from Boston to Fort Collins. So, $78,000 basically is where they're starting at right now for used certified. There might be some. Maybe I just turn this over to actually. Just used, not certified. Yeah, not a whole lot cheaper. $76,000. Yeah. So not quite. The depreciation isn't quite like you see on the Mercedes. But I kind of enjoyed it more than the Mercedes. I like the Mercedes EQS SUV. I put it in my suggestions. I really, really enjoyed that. But just the i7 is like a whole different level for like comfortable like road cruising. I don't know if you can really beat it. But yeah, still too expensive. Are we ready for our last email for the day?
Let's do it.
Okay. Hey guys, love the podcast and battery bargains. I've been looking for an electric car for a while and would love your feedback. I currently drive a 2013 Audi Q5 2.0 with 127,000 miles and have always preferred German cars. I've had several in the past, but never a BMW. A friend has a BMW i5 that, while great, is not for me. After having test-driven several EVs, I think I'd really enjoy the i4. I'm single and rarely carry more than two people in my vehicle and feel ready to go back to a car from a crossover. So that all being said, I'm looking at two options for getting an i4. I see 2023 CPOs, certified pre-owned, which are in the low 40,000s and look great, but I am also looking at leasing a 2025. The costs wind up being similar. I'm looking at the E40 as I live in Raleigh, North Carolina, and seldom, if ever, need four-wheel drive. I'm not sure about buying due to rapid technology changes and car value volatility. Plus, I've never really had a new car and always bought used. So what do you guys think? I know there's a preference for purchasing generally, and I've never leased before. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Best regards, Ron. All right. So what do you think, Martin? It looks like he's like sold on the BMW i4 and just wants to, you know, asking maybe how he should go about getting it. Like he likes new cars. But he's always bought and used, should he lease this?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, actually. So BMW i4 e-drive 40.
E40, yeah. They make the E30 too, but it's not as quick as like a 5.8 second 0-60. It's like slower than my like Tesla Model 3 rear-wheel drive. So the i4 is kind of like a sporty-looking car. It should have some, I don't know. E40, I think, is kind of a good place to start anyway.
Yeah. So should you buy or lease a BMW i4? I don't think there's anything, correct me if I'm wrong, Dom, I don't think there's anything about that vehicle specifically which would change my answer. Does that make sense? So it's not like that vehicle's been hit by massive depreciation or whatever. So it's not like the vehicle is outdated. And so, you know, there is the BMW Neue Klasse of vehicles coming next year. There'll be an i3. I mean, China has an i3 that's not the i3 that you're thinking of, that we will have the i3. But then we get the i3, which is going to be the 3 series. Neue Klasse stuff. So that is coming, which sort of deprecates what came before, but I still wouldn't worry too much about it. So I think whether you lease or buy has nothing to do with the BMW i4. I think it all comes down to you. And that, so I think then it's a decision of lease or buy, and that could be any EV that you are comparing it to. So do you want, so I'll say this very quickly and then shut up. Do you want to look at your motoring over a 2 or 3 year period where you have a monthly cost in your budget that's ring fenced, that might be $400, that is your transport budget, and that's your personal transport, and it's not your car. You can't scratch it and dent and bend it. You know, if you haven't got kids that are going to mush yogurt in the seats like I have, and so you're probably okay if you look after your cars, because when you obviously you give it back, they're not going to accept any damage without it being fixed, and then that's a cost at the end of your finance agreement. So if you are going to lease it, then if you can keep your vehicles in good condition, and you can, in your head, in your budget line for your monthly costs, think of your transport as a cost you write off. It's like $400 a month. I'll never see the money again. And at the end of that agreement, I hand the car back and we're even. Then if you think of it like that, then go lease it. The BMW i4, as far as I know, is not depreciating more or less, although EVs are depreciating. It's a new car, so I wouldn't worry about maintenance. Because again, if it's somebody else's car and it goes wrong, you say, and if it is a lemon and one in a, you know, one in a percentage are, come and get it, give me a new one, fine. And so, and there's mileage restrictions as well. So if it's not your car and you're driving somebody else's car, you know, it could be 10, 5,000, 6,000, 10,000, 12,000 miles a year. If you go over that, there's often an amount you pay, that's extra over, you know, and there's wear and tear, but it's a, you know, 2-3 year deal I wouldn't worry too much about. So yeah, you're gonna look at $395, maybe $450 a month for an e-drive 40, something like that, over 3 years, with maybe $4,000-$5,000 down at the beginning, and that's about the price you're gonna pay. But that's not specific to the car. That's more of a decision that you have to make about how you go about your personal transport.
So leasing versus, so there's some great leases out there. I know a lot of people aren't used to leasing, but it was just recently with the $7,500 federal tax incentive being available for a lot of cars through leases, but not buying outright, leasing EVs has just grown like exponentially. So it's like 80% of new EVs from traditional car brands, not the Teslas and Rivians, but
it's a huge amount.
Are now leased. So it's a huge number, but that's because there's some really great leases out there. So I looked around for a good BMW i4 lease, and I didn't really see anything that was that compelling. It's just like $4,285 down, plus a $925 acquisition fee. I don't know what that's about. $469 a month for 36 months, and only 10,000 miles a year. So I don't feel comfortable recommending that. It just seems like too much. So I did find an i4 relatively cheap in that area, sort of near in Maryland, for around $36,600. I think that would be the good way to go with a used i4, rather than new one. Let me just pop this one up here on the screen too. I'm not sure where this one is at, but I just popped up did a quick search just a moment ago here.
John in the comments says 10,000 miles a year is not much, and yet for many people, it's far too much. And so it depends on which part of the world you live and what you do each day. So for many people, you're right. Then it's like half of what they need. So this is a nice car that was put on screen in white. Nice spec. And what's the price on that?
$33,888.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's a pretty good price. I mean, that makes sense to me, because that's already lost, $20,000 in depreciation, I'm thinking, at least. If it's a 2022, 30, and it's 40, it's under 5,000 miles. So it's, very, very much like new, basically. Yeah. And I don't think you can go wrong with that kind of a deal right there.
Great shout, Rob. So, I mean, the i4 is a great car. You're going to love this.
Yeah. Somebody, who was that mentioned in the comments earlier? This guy needs a used Porsche Taycan, which I think we all need a used Porsche Taycan, really.
I mean, we'll do, let's face it.
But so I just did a quick look, and they're like, they start around pretty much 50,000.
That's
and up.
Yeah,
it's yeah,
amazing.
And that's a 2021. So you're stretching back a couple of years now, and then you know, but some of these are kind of lowish miles, 16,000 in this one, but most of them are higher, 30 and 40,000, 50, you know, 74. Mm. So, and Porsche Taycan is going to be expensive to insure, and parts are probably, you know, maintenance is, it should be fine, but if there is a problem, it could be expensive. So
yeah, I don't know what the service schedule is on a Porsche or a BMW, because some of them make you have it to keep the warranty up.
True.
And you know, some of them are annually and some of them are 24 months and what have you. So again, look at things like that. But a used i4, as Dom says, I don't see that being, you know, in 2 or 3 years' time, is that a $20,000 car? Is that a $25,000 car? So work out your depreciation. It'll probably be less than a lease on a new one. It's not going to be a $15,000 car in 3 years' time. And so do your numbers in a spreadsheet and work it out. And yeah, that's a great deal.
So I had another thought about this, though. I thought we should recommend them a different vehicle besides the i4, at least something to go and compare and like cross shop, like go to the store, try one out, just see how you feel about it. Don't necessarily go with the intention to buy one or anything. But the Tesla Model 3, rear-wheel drive, long range, they start at $42,490. So that's $34,990 after the federal incentive, if you're eligible for the incentive. They may not like the turn signal and gear shifting situation in the new Model 3s, but the new ones are, you know, much quieter and ride better than the pre-refresh. And I think a lot of people will prefer over the i4. A lot of people will prefer the i4 over the Tesla Model 3, but it's just something that you should maybe just consider trying out and just to see what you think personally yourself is. So I know, you know, as we are, our two previous letters, you know, or not, you know, Tesla oriented, but this person maybe, or maybe, I don't know. It's not our job to make judgment calls on our clients. Are you guys our clients? Are you guys our customers?
They're our friends.
Yeah.
Ron's
yeah, right.
Friend.
It's not my place to really, you know, tell my friends what brand they should or should not buy. That's up to their, you know, everyone can make their own personal decisions when it comes to, you know, I don't know if you want to say what morality based buying. I mean, there's places I don't shop, but, you know, I do drive a Tesla Model 3, a used one.
But you always wear your MAGA hat when you drive it, and so it doesn't really count in your case,
yeah.
Tom.
Yeah, I do not own a MAGA hat. I'm sorry
right.
to say. Sorry
it was,
for
it's the Trump
not to be political.
Sticker. It's the bumper sticker you've got. It's the hands off my gun, I'm voting Trump bumper sticker.
I'm very anti-bumper sticker, so I don't have any of those either, but I can't imagine doing that to my car. Oh, my God. Maybe an old truck.
But, yeah, absolutely. And you do own an old truck as well.
I do own an old truck. There's no bumper stickers on that either.
Oh, what a shame.
But, yeah. Anyway, so that's... I think that we should probably call that a show, Martin. What do you think?
That's a good idea before it gets too giddy.
Okay. So that brings us to the end of our show. If you're looking for your own bespoke EV recommendation, drop us a line at batterybargains@batteriesincludedpodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments, please leave them below or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. Don't forget, if you like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Don't forget, if you didn't like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Click subscribe, tap that bell icon for notifications. Thank you all very much for joining us, and we'll see you again very soon. Ciao.